Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, and welcome to the creative field. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I will be your host here on BBSradio.com every second Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time. This is our very first show, and it could not have happened without a team effort. So before we begin tonight and before I introduce our special guest, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank our supporters, the Emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat and Conference Center in beautiful Abbotsford, BC, where I live and where I'm speaking to you from right now. For those of you that are not familiar with Edenvale, it's a beautiful oasis retreat in Abbotsford, and it provides space for retreats and business meetings, workshops, and much, much more. We also have ongoing events here at Edenvale, and anyone can attend, so just check out Edenvale on the website www.edenvaleretreat.ca. and have a look around. And while you're there, just check out our calendar of events and join us if you can. I would also like to thank Dawn and Doug Newsom, the producers of BBS Radio, two wonderful guys. And I really want to thank you for your gracious and professional assistance in getting this show up and running. And one thing I noticed as I was speaking to you both, it's the spirit in which you carry on your work that's so special, and I really want to honor you for that. You encouraged me to hold the spirit of joy and ease while I'm doing this program, and I'm going to take your advice, and I thank you for that. So thank you both for making this a painless process, and I'm really looking forward to the time that we have together in the weeks and the months and then hopefully the years to come. I'd like to send a special thanks and a great big hug to my wonderful friends, talented musicians and loving spirits, Cheryl Catherine Smith and Ash Riot. They are the hosts of the BBS radio program Hologram, which airs online right before us at 7 o'clock on Station 1 every second Sunday. So these two wonderful ladies introduced me to BBS Radio and encouraged me to make the creative field happen. So here it is. Make your Sunday night extra special by tuning in to Hologram at 7 p.m., 7 to 8 Pacific time, and then join us right after. Now, finally, but certainly not the least, I would like to thank the family and friends around the globe that have been spreading the word about the creative field. It is definitely all about people who tell people who tell people. And I know that there are lots and lots of people with us tonight, because you kindly passed this information on. So thank you all. So just, you might be wondering what the creative field is about. So I'd like to just tell you in a compact form what our intention is for this program, and so that you can get the essence more than the details of what it is, because it's a very vast topic of the creative field, and I certainly couldn't tell you all about it in one sitting here. But let's look at it this way. The world that we are observing today, our world, is showing us what does not sustain life. It seems as though everything's gotten out of hand, and there's a possibility that it could get a lot worse. And deep down, I believe that we know that something different needs to happen, but the question is, what? What now? What can we do? So this is where we can bridge that gap between the dilemma of what now and the possibilities that become realities when heart and mind and spirit and a higher vision work together in harmony. That is why we're here. That's why we're on BBS Radio, to provide a forum for that to happen. So the creative field is, I believe, an opportunity to focus on what is possible, to learn from people that are right on the ground, who know how to sustain and maintain a healthy environment, nutritious food supply, a balanced ecosystem, and to care, to deeply care for the mind, body, and spirit aspects of all life forms here on Earth. So those of us that are committed to turning this ship around, so to speak, are heading in a new direction that humanity has really never known before. It's like virgin territory, because it requires us to consciously participate in creating and co-creating our now and our future together. And the key words there are consciously participating. So in order to bring sanity into the creative field, we need each other. We truly need each other. And we're here to learn from each other, not to have opinions, but to listen and to share solutions that promote life. Solutions that promote life. We believe that those possibilities are endless. And now, as your host, you're going to be hearing a lot of me over the weeks to come, and so you may want to know just a little about me. I'm going to keep it very brief because we have a wonderful guest with us tonight, and this show is definitely not about me. I am a clinical hypnotherapist and a teacher of hypnotherapy at Coastal Academy of Hypnotic Arts and Science here in Surrey, British Columbia. And I became a hypnotherapist because of my passion to understand consciousness and the mind. And I can certainly tell you that becoming a hypnotherapist has never ceased to feed that passion. I am fascinated with metaphysics, quantum physics, the creative power of consciousness, and anything else that digs deeper into what makes life what it is here on planet Earth. But more importantly, I support everything and everyone that promotes life in a sustainable, honorable, and harmonious way. The creative field is one of those opportunities for me to do that, so I am very thrilled to be here beginning this process. This is my very first experience hosting an online program, and I can say that the decision to do this came from the creative field of my own life. I knew that this program wasn't going to just happen on its own. And I knew that if I could think about the possibility of it happening, then it could be done. So here I am, co-creating a brand new internet radio show with other people, a new adventure in the creative field. So before I bring on our guest, I want to remind those that are familiar with BBS Radio that you can call in and ask our guest questions. And the number for that is a toll-free number, 888-627-6008. And those of you listening online can see that probably right on the screen. And now I am very honored and very pleased to tell you about tonight's guest from Sunrise Ranch. Sunrise Ranch is a beautiful retreat haven in Loveland, Colorado, and that's where our guest is speaking to us from tonight. He is the spiritual director of the Emissaries of Divine Light. He's a writer, a poet, and a teacher. He is the initiator of the creative field programs throughout the world, and he's definitely someone who knows intimately the power of the creative field in his work and in his life. I know David, and I see that working in his life. So I'd love to introduce you now to our guest and my friend, David Karshak. Welcome, David. Thank you for being with
me. Well, Jeannie, thanks. And congratulations for your grand adventure. And certainly you have my support, and I know the support of many people in this endeavor. And so I celebrate any initiative like this that creates a forum for new thinking, for new ways of looking at our world and understanding our lives, and for opening up pathways to something more creative than is usually experienced by people. And certainly in this day, we are seeking clear answers for the issues that are up in our world and in our life. So, mm-hmm. Good on you for taking this on.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you very much. I know that you've been doing a lot of traveling throughout the world and bringing perhaps the creative programs to different areas. Is that right, David?
Well, that's true, Jeannie. So I just got back from a trip to England, where we had several programs and are planning some programs for the spring, and then went on to Cape Town in South Africa. And there's a lot up in that country, as you may know. Mm-hmm. So was there and, again, held programs with some folks there while there, held a morning creative field program. And we're planning a creative field conference in Cape Town in the spring. So it was very exciting to get that off the ground.
That's wonderful. Tell us, David, what inspired you to initiate the creative field programs?
Well, Jeannie, it was this. So there was a number of us who were getting together and thinking about what we could do to create a field of energy that we could live in, that we could be in ourselves, and that we could introduce other people to and share with other people and hold among us. And our goal was to create something that went beyond the boundaries of culture, of nationality and geography, of religious or spiritual background, and create something that anybody around the world could participate in. So this was in September of 2009, and we thought of it as an ever-expanding field of love. We thought that if there was a heightened awareness of love shared between people, and I would say agape love, so universal love, shared between people. And if that could be intensified and generated and expanded upon, that would be a great thing. So that was the intent that we had when we initiated the program.
Wonderful. And I know by being aware of the different places that you're going and the events that you've been having around the creative field, that it's spreading beautifully. It's because, it's like you say, it is the vibration of love. And that, I believe, being the highest vibration, sort of entrains everything around it to support it. Isn't that true?
Well, I totally agree with you. And, of course, you know, any of us who've taken that on know that to be consistent in bringing something that's loving to other people, we have to be masterful in our own expression, in our own experience. We have to be masterful in the way we handle our own thinking, our own attitudes, and expression. And to do all that, we also need to do something about the emotional realm, about raising the level of our emotional intelligence or emotional mastery, because certainly that's a factor for people in the way they interact in their world.
Oh, I definitely agree there. And, you know, I'm as I look around in some of the people that actually come to me for my work as a hypnotherapist, there's a lot of depression and anxiety and stress in the world. However, I believe, and I'm certain that you probably do as well, is that there is a starting point to turn that all around. Do you have any thoughts for anyone that's listening to us tonight that might be trying to lift up in that emotional realm and change the pattern of that vibration? Do you have some thoughts on that, David?
I sure do, Jeannie, so thanks for asking. There are some foundational attitudes and practices that assist us to have a different relationship with our own emotional realm, and therefore our own experience in living and the way we relate to other people. So there's a lot of talk these days about emotional intelligence, and they're saying that while traditionally we talk about IQ, so we talk about intelligence quotient, we're usually thinking about mental ability, but what researchers have found is that the success in life, and certainly the happiness in life, depends in large measure not only on intellectual or mental intelligence, but other ranges of intelligence, including emotional intelligence. And even with that, it seems to me that emotional intelligence is a little bit about the weather. People may talk about it, but nobody does anything about it. And I think many people aren't quite sure what to do about gaining a greater level of emotional mastery. And I do think that it's about changing one's relationship with what's happening in the circumstances in one's world and with the people in one's world. And one of the quickest ways I know to do that is the practice of stillness and gratitude. It's very simple, but if a person can find a still place within themselves and express gratitude for their life, that certainly begins to provide a basis for a greater level of emotional well-being and emotional mastery.
And also as you're saying about gratitude, you know, people can pray and they can ask for this and ask for that. But when you give gratitude, it's as if you've already received it. You don't say thank you unless you believe that you've already received it. And I think that there's a lot to be said, perhaps, of understanding that there is more here available to everyone than they can perceive through the emotional realm or the situations that they think they're looking at. There is nothing missing on planet Earth. And at the same time, there's really nothing missing within the person. There's an incredible master within each one of us. And even though it might be hard for some to believe, even the glimpse of that possibility opens a door to what can come next as we're talking about the creative field and its possibilities. What are your thoughts on that, David?
Yeah. Well, I certainly agree, Jeannie. There is this relationship between thinking and feeling. And I do believe that when we discover the power of changing our thoughts and the power of the relationship between our thoughts and our feelings, we've taken a big step to an experience of emotional well-being and happiness in life. Because our feeling realm is responding not so much to what's happening around us, so what people are saying and so on. It's responding even more to what we're thinking about what people are saying and what is happening. So we could think of any aspect of our life, our relationships with other people, perhaps somebody particularly close to us, our relationship with money, our relationship with our work life. And there is a very deep-seated belief that people generally have that what is happening in all those areas of their life is affecting them, and that they're receiving the impact of what's happening in all those areas. We become powerful and take a step into an experience of emotional well-being when we realize it's not so much that those things that are happening are impacting us. It's more that what we're thinking about them is impacting us.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And that's very powerful, very empowering to discover that, really.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of study now, a lot of... I always appreciate scientific proof that's aiming at bringing science and spirit together. And there's a lot of study being done now of the effect of our consciousness on our world, and it's absolutely provable that our thoughts go out as waves of energy, go out into that field, and then resonate and start to coagulate all of the things that our beliefs are telling us about the world out there. So we can all go to the same party and have different experiences based on our subjective perspective of it, our attitude towards it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for those who are interested, there's all kinds of scientific work out there, and some of it originated with the discoveries that were made in quantum physics, where it was found that the way that very infinitesimally small particles behaved depended on who was watching it and the very fact of being watched or being observed. So there was that work. Lynn McTaggart's work is really excellent. She is a reporter by trade and has written some wonderful books, including The Field and The Intention Experiment, and most recently, The Bond. And mm-hmm. Lynn describes all the research that's been done that shows how what we are thinking and feeling is affecting the world that we live in. And certainly, if you look at the larger scene of the world, if you look at global warming, or look at the threat of nuclear war, which has subsided some, but still is a risk in our world. Or if we look at the state of the ecology, looking at all those things, it's hard to deny that human beings are having a great impact on the world. And I think this is a huge change in human consciousness, because for millennia, Our culture has believed that our experience was being determined by the impact of the world around us on us. And we're having to come face to face with the reality that we're having an impact on our world. And because we are, our own context, our own ecological environment is being threatened. So all those things point to something. But then the question becomes, do we know how to change it around? Do we know how to change our experience from one of being acted upon and being a victim of what's happening to being a creator?
Yes, that is the question. And I believe that's the question individually. I sometimes when I'm speaking with clients, I talk about the pathway that we have in life, and we walk along that pathway, and at some point, the pathway starts to go like a Y in the road. And one side of that Y is wisdom, and the other side is victim. We can stay on the pathway of wisdom so that, you know, at my age now, I'm in grandma land, I really believe I look back on my life and I learn just as much from what not getting it right the first time, you know, from what might be perceived as mistakes, but they're not. They're only mistakes if it goes down that road of victim, because there really is no victim. And like you said, we are face to face now with the knowledge that we are directly, if not completely, affecting the world out there that we look at. I was going to ask you about Lynn McTaggart. You just had a wonderful, successful event down at Sunrise Ranch that Lynn was a guest at on Skype. Is that true, David?
Yeah, it is true. We did have an event here at the Creative Field Conference from September 15th to 18th, and we had Lynn McTaggart on live streaming video. She gave an excellent presentation, and I really admire the work that Lynn has done to bring together all the wonderful research that's being done that is showing that consciousness has an impact on our world. And when we say consciousness, we're really talking about thoughts and feelings, and those two things are connected. But how we think and feel has impact at all kinds of ranges. So, Lynn was excellent. We also had Matthew Fox here, and I had the privilege of offering a worship service with Matthew. He's a former Catholic priest, now Episcopalian priest, written many wonderful books, including The Coming of the Cosmic Christ and Christian Mystics more recently. And then we also had Katie Hendricks here from the Hendricks Institute in Northern California. So altogether, a very creative time. Our intention was to build a creative field of thought and feeling and energy among the people who were here, and we certainly did that. And one of the highlights for me was one of my favorite musical performers ever, Tuck and Patty, came and gave a concert on Saturday night, and then stayed and played for the service on Sunday.
The music is almost sounds like it's coming from heaven with them, isn't it? She's got an amazing voice.
She does. And you know, one of the really pleasurable things about meeting both Tuck and Patty and Matthew and some of the other folks who are here is that these are people that I've followed for years. I think I first listened to Tuck and Patty 10 or 15 years ago and just loved their music. And meeting them in person, they carry that same spirit that their music carries. And so there's authenticity. And Matthew was the same way. I read his book, Coming of the Cosmic Christ, I think it was about 20 years ago, and he has 21 experiences of a mystic in there. And if you ever have a chance to take a look at it, it's just a wonderful list of experiences that I could really relate to and really inspired me at the time. And when he came to Sunrise and we had a chance to meet him and be in his workshop, what we found was what I found was that he was that man I met in the book. That he was authentic, and I do celebrate that there are authentic people these days who are having the experience that they're creating a new world, a new reality, a new way of thinking and feeling, a new way of seeing our world, and people who are acting with some spiritual courage, which Matthew certainly is, and many other people are too. And I certainly think that to be creators, we do have to act with spiritual courage.
Yeah. I think we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yeah. I am.
Hi. Who are we speaking to?
Hi. This is Jane from Loveland, Colorado.
Hello, Jane.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask a question of both of you, seeing as I am appreciating what you're talking about. David just made a comment before he was talking about all the events that happened at the Creative Field Conference about how a person thinks and feels has an impact on the world. And my what I'd like to just question is how a person thinks and feels might seem as though we don't have thoughts and feelings that come to us that seem to come from nowhere. You know, in some ways they're irrational. But it feels to me like the power that a person has is in what they do with those thoughts and feelings, because there are things that I know I think and feel that don't have any connection with what's happening right in front of me. It could be even because something is going on with someone I know or something's going on in the world that I'm connected to. So I just wanted to ask David or you, Jeannie, to speak more about what you would invite a person to do with regards to those thoughts and feelings, about choice and choosing what parts of those you express and how you actually engage with your world.
Thank you, Jane. That's a wonderful question. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I love the question. And so I think of a couple of things in this area from my own experience and from working with other people. And the first is I do think we have to become students of what is happening in our own thought and feeling. And we become students by witnessing ourselves, by noticing what we're thinking and what we're feeling, and watching ourselves and being curious about what we're thinking and feeling and asking, where did that come from? And, oh, isn't that interesting that that's how I'm feeling today? Realizing that I may feel different in a little bit. I may have some different thoughts in a little bit. But this is how I'm thinking and feeling right now. And so I think the first step towards mastery is being a witness and a student of what we're experiencing. And then the next thing is realizing that we don't have to express out into our world, into other people, whatever we think or feel. And certainly that's part of any maturing process and part of any kind of spiritual mastery, is that we realize that we don't have to launch off on other people whatever feeling that might come up. We can witness it, and then we can choose what it is we want to offer to other people. And I was speaking about being authentic. I think initially a person might feel they're being inauthentic if they don't express to another how angry they are. But, you know, that's not always the authentic or creative thing to do. So I think those two things are what initially come to mind. So the first one is being a student and witnessing what's happening inside. And two, realizing that you don't have to express everything you think and feel, that there is something creative that can go out into one's world that leads to a good place for other people and brings good results. And you can check in later at greater depth on what you were thinking and feeling that you chose not to express. So it's not a matter of repressing that forever and ever. It's just, I think we want to take that to a private place where we can explore what it's about without inflicting it on other people.
Yes, and I think...
Well, thank you, David. What comes to my mind is the fact that there are times where myself and probably other people feel like they have to defend how they're feeling as opposed to just feeling it. And having this sensation, like you were just saying, I'm feeling angry, and then creating reality that says, and I have every right to feel angry, and therefore imposing it and feeling like they have to if they're feeling it, there must be good reason, and then sometimes finding a reason and then making that the reason they're actually having the feeling. Whereas I have had the experience of feeling things that I really don't know why I'm feeling them, and I sometimes would like them to go away and sometimes would like to figure out where they're coming from. But this range of feeling often is not as linear as I would like. And I think that that's why mastery is useful in it. And so I'm appreciating this line of consideration.
Thank you, Jane. And I think, too, that as you know, even as we're talking about the creative field is not just a term, it's an actual vibratory pool of energy that we're all swimming in. And sometimes, you know, just to perhaps this may be one reason of picking up things that you don't know where the heck they came from and why are you feeling that, is that the global consciousness is also flowing through all of us. And I think that perhaps in these days, as the, you can say the veil thins or whatever term you use, we're starting to become very empathic to those feelings of everything that's in the field. That's why I believe, too, David, that the very first step in that is to check on your head. What am I thinking of? Monitor where your thoughts are and ask those very important questions. Where did that come from? And knowing that this, too, shall pass. But in the field, where I'm talking to a lot of people lately that are feeling weird, and they just don't know why. And I think perhaps it's because we're in that field together and we're picking up the energy from one another. What do you think of that, David?
Well, I definitely think that's true, Jeannie. We're connected at unseen levels to other people. And no, I think of it as a basement in our own house. So we each have our own basement, which is this deep reservoir of feelings and experiences and subconscious. And we if we're doing our work, we're paying attention to what's coming up from that basement and working creatively with it. But at some point we discover that all our basements are connected. There's some kind of subterranean network there where we're sharing a common basement. In other words, a common pool or reservoir of energy. And has been called the mass subconscious. So, yeah, I definitely agree. And acknowledging all that, I think what's important is to find attunement with an inner resource that isn't just what's in the mass subconscious, but an inner resource, spiritually speaking. And I don't mean of a particular faith. I mean that within each of us is a reservoir of creativity. And I think we can have the experience, come into the experience of finding that reservoir is available to us at any time. That if we choose not to simply react to or engage with whatever negative thought or feeling that comes up, but we choose to be still, we choose to express gratitude, change our relationship with other people and circumstances so that we're not reacting in thought and feeling to them, then we can open up on the inside and find attunement with our own creative spirit, with our own expression of universal love, which is an awesome power, and bring that on through. And with that expression of universal love, there's also universal intelligence. So we each have our own inner wisdom, and a lot of times we don't trust it. But if we're quiet enough and listen to it and are willing to bring it through, it's there, and it's telling us something about the circumstances and about what we can offer into it that's creative.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. We have another caller on the line. Welcome, caller.
Hello.
Hello, and who are we speaking to?
This is Karen. I think
Hello,
you know
Karen.
Me.
Welcome. You have a question for David?
Pardon me?
Do you have a question for David?
I don't have a question for David. I just have a comment that I am finding this program to be absolutely fascinating. I am so very, very proud of you, and I'm so thrilled that this is happening for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I feel blessed, David. I've had so many well wishes and love that's been sent in this last few days for the creative field and for my opportunity to do this. So I just know that there is a wave of that energy and that love that's supporting all of us as we come together in this way. So thank you, Karen. I truly, truly appreciate that.
Love you, Mom.
Thank you.
Me too, Karen. Thank you.
David, you know, you are a poet and a writer, and you love music. And would you say that these expressions are examples of using the creative field in a way that people can tap into quickly? You know, our own creative being within us, those things that we show that we have a passion for or a flair for or a feeling for?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think these days, oftentimes when we speak of meditation, even for those of us who have grown up in the Western world, in Western culture, we often think of meditation from the East, and that's wonderful. And still, there are many forms to meditation that have been practiced in the West, and the simple act of going into a quiet place, probably a quiet and still place physically, but certainly a quiet and still place in oneself, and listening to universal love and universal intelligence as it's coming to one and letting it come through, to me, that's the essence of writing poetry, or really writing of many kinds, any kind of creative writing. So for me, poetry is meditation. And so somebody asked me recently how long I'd been writing poetry, and I'm not a widely published poet by any means, but I had to think, and I first began writing it at age 16.
Wow.
It was a really important part of my spiritual path to get in touch with that inner resource. So I think it's really important for anyone not to just try to kind of slug it out in the everyday life and in the everyday interactions with other people and try to make the best of it. What we do moment by moment with other people is important, but I think it's equally important, at least, to find times where one is quiet in oneself and finds attunement with the creative spirit within, and then begins to allow that creative spirit to move in thought and feeling so that one's own mind and heart is getting moved from within. And if we're getting moved from within, we're not so apt to get moved from without. You know, we're not so apt to react to the thing that angers us from somebody at work or somebody in our family or whoever it might be.
Yes, and I think, too, that sometimes we get into the habit of what we call ruminating, going over and over and over something. And as a hypnotherapist, I can tell people that when you do that, your subconscious mind does not know that it's not happening in that moment. So you're bashing yourself constantly with those negative thoughts. And when we take the time to go into meditation and into that still, quiet place, it gives the mind, the body, and the spirit the opportunity to find that balance point. And when we even take 5 minutes or 10 minutes out of the day to allow that vibration and that still point to come, just let all of the thoughts drain out of the head for 5 minutes, it gives the body a huge healing. Because when we're thinking and thinking all day long, and with the emotion that goes along with it, we are hitting somewhere in our neurology. So the body is connected directly to the thoughts as well. So it promotes health in a huge way to take that time to find that still point.
Yeah, I totally agree. Somebody said to me recently that resentment is a pattern of thought and feeling and rumination, as you put it, that being resentful is like taking a poison and hoping somebody else will suffer from it. So how do we break all those negative patterns of thought and feeling? And it's interesting how the mind and the emotions and the body are all in it together.
They are.
And the body ends up taking the brunt of what's happening in the thought and the feeling.
Yep.
And there is something to do mentally. There is a mental practice, I believe, that's very important, because it's in the conscious mind where we get to make a different choice, as you were saying, to take another route in that Y in our road, to take the road less traveled. And
travel that road.
And beginning to get a hold of this whole thing. And I think solitude and meditation plays a part in all that. And it's not that we should spend our whole lives as a monk, but some of our life has to be in solitude, where we can find our own attunement with the creative spirit that is unique to us, each person.
Mm-hmm. And to find who we are, check in every once in a while and say, how am I doing on planet Earth? Who am I now? And, you know, it is like it's a beautiful trip down a river, because it's always changing and the vista is changing and there's an expansion that goes along with that. So even though the base of who we are is that spark, that spirit, we're on an ever-evolving pathway, and it's exciting. We're at a time, David, that we're actually coming closer to the end of the program, so I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to tell people if you're planning perhaps to bring the creative field programs up into our area or any other areas, perhaps next year up in BC.
Well, sure. So I think the thing I want to speak about first, Jeannie, is the small groups of the creative field.
Okay.
So this is really at the heart of what we're doing. And what we thought was that, you know, if we could get people together, let's say monthly, in small groups with about 7 people, and give people a chance to share together their own experience of working with consciousness and energy, that those 7 people could begin to build a new field of consciousness and energy among themselves that could spread out into the individual worlds of the people involved. And then as we went along, we thought that people who are participating in such a group could initiate their own small group so that they could host a group and invite other people to participate with them. So we've been about that, and that began in September of 2009 and is continuing. So if people are interested in participating in a group like that, they meet, some of them in person, and oftentimes on the telephone, just as I'm on the telephone right now. And in many cases, with people from around the world, so people you haven't met before in many cases. And that's quite a wonderful experience. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of of being on an airplane and sitting next to somebody and finding that all of a sudden you were in the middle of this deep and wonderful conversation with this person you'd never met before. So I think a lot of people are having that experience.
Wonderful.
So if folks are interested in having that kind of experience, being part of a small group, they can go to our website, which is creativefield.org, and they can register for a small group and find out more about them there. So that's one opportunity. We don't have a public event that I know of coming up in British Columbia anytime in the real near future. We do have another Creative Field Conference here at Sunrise Ranch in Loveland, Colorado, in September of 2012, from the 13th to the 16th. So we're planning on that, if people would like to pencil in that date. And then we're having our conference in Cape Town for anybody who is in that part of the world, and that will be on March 17th and 18th, Saturday, March 17th and 18th.
Wonderful.
So those are at least a couple of things that are going on, and would welcome people to any of those activities.
Well, I really want to thank you so much, David, for taking the time to be here with me tonight, particularly on night one of this, what I'm hoping and really believing is going to be a wonderful adventure with people from all over the world. And it meant a lot to have you here, and it's certainly been a memorable occasion. You talking about my passion here, consciousness, and what is possible. And I just want to also encourage anyone who wants to come together in those small groups to definitely go on creativefield.org and get the information on how to proceed to either make your own group or join in with other groups. Is it possible, David, for people to join into groups that are already going, or is there a maximum in each group?
They can certainly join groups that are already going, and we're reconfiguring groups in December anyway, so it's an ideal time for people to sign on and be a part of it.
Great. Well, thank you again, David, so much. I know that you probably are you over your jet lag?
I am.
Good.
Yes.
Well, we will certainly be speaking with each other soon, and I wish you well for the rest of the evening, and thank you again for being with me tonight and all of our listeners.
Well, thank you, Jeannie. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. Bye-bye for now, David.
Bye.
And everyone, I'd like you to know that our next guest on November 6th at 8 p.m. is going to be Jim Law from Voice Entertainment. Jim is a movie producer of documentary films that merge science with spirituality. He is the co-founder of Voice Entertainment, and he has produced such movies as Quantum Communication, The Voice, and his most recent release, Hope for Humanity. Jim's going to be joining us from his home in Sedona, Arizona, to share his unique filmmaking experiences over the last number of years, and to speak about his new movie, Hope for Humanity, which is a movie that explores the lives of today's gifted children and how their presence in our changing world can make a huge difference. More importantly, how we can best guide them towards their amazing potential. So please join us Sunday, November 6th at 8 p.m. And don't forget to tune in to Hologram at 7 o'clock, same night, on bbsradio.com. So that you can have 2 hours, put your feet up, have a cup of tea, and listen to inspiring information about all of the possibilities of what we can do together on this planet. And if you've listened tonight and have any comments that you'd like to share, please feel free to email me at singlei@shaw.ca. That's the word single, S-I-N-G-L-E, and the word I, E-Y-E, both together there, two words, single eye, at shaw.ca. and just put BBS in the subject line so that I can get to it and know that it's from one of our listeners. I'd like to know that you were with us, and I appreciate your comments and your thoughts. So goodbye for now, and bless all of you in your creative field. Good night.